This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The crippling WannaCry malware. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Monday, May 15. Thanks for joining us. Here's what's up this hour.
A weekend ransomware attack in Europe and Asia affected some 200,000 computers in 150 countries. There are concerns it could worsen as the work week begins.
North Korea has launched a new type of ballistic missile. Here it's reported capabilities.
Justice Department officials met with candidates for the top job at the FBI. The president could identify his choice this week.
And confirming the suspicions of many experienced employees, proof that today's young adults are delusional about the real world.
7 in 10 people that are about to graduate from college say they expect they're going to make more than $35,000 a year in their first job. That's up 11 percentage points from last year. Here's the reality, though. Fewer than half made that much.
Ouch. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com, about Generation Z not understanding today's real world realities. She's here in about 20 minutes. Officials are calling it the highest-profile computer worm outbreak in nearly a decade. The cyber attack that spread around the globe over the weekend could keep growing as people around the world return to work this morning. The hacking affected businesses, hospitals, and government agencies in at least 150 countries. So far, the virus has not been blamed for destroying hardware itself. Where users have backed up data, long-term damage likely can be limited. Rob Wainwright is director of Europol, Europe's law enforcement agency.
This has been a big impact, and it's a wake-up call, I think, to many sectors around the need to take cybersecurity absolutely seriously as a top-line strategic priority.
The virus slowed down over the weekend by the identification and activation of a kill switch, but few believe it was halted completely. While the U.S. appears relatively unscathed compared with Europe and Asia, government security agencies are closely watching. Meanwhile, Microsoft President Brad Smith blogged that the ransomware attack leveraged a hacking tool built by the U.S. National Security Agency that leaked online in April. North Korea says it successfully test-fired a newly developed medium-long-range surface-to-surface missile capable of carrying a large nuclear warhead. Pyongyang is claiming new advanced capabilities as it tries to deliver a nuclear-tipped long-range missile to the continental U.S. Independent experts said the range of yesterday's missile exceeded that of any other weapon North Korea has successfully launched. President Trump said it landed closer than usual to Russian soil. Nikki Haley is U.S. ambassador to the U.N. She was on ABC's This Week.
Russians are trying to figure out what to do. I don't think they know what to do with our president. I don't think they know what to do with the situation. They've been isolated when it comes to Syria, and they're trying to figure out what their place in the world is going to be, and we've shaken that.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un indicated in January that he seeks to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of delivering a nuclear warhead to the mainland U.S., and Pyongyang has stepped up its missile tests since then, test launching 10 missiles this year. Another social media post by President Trump has sent lawmakers scrambling. He appeared to suggest last week on Twitter that he might have tapes of conversations between him and former FBI Director James Comey, who he fired last week. The tweet read, quote, James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. In response, lawmakers yesterday called on Mr. Trump to turn over any such tapes. Virginia Senator Mark Warner is the top Democrat on the Intelligence Committee.
You have this very bizarre statement by the president that there may exist private tapes, and we want to make sure those tapes are preserved because we're going to want to take a look at them in Congress.
He was on ABC's This Week. The president and a White House spokesman declined to confirm or deny whether such tapes exist. Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah told Fox News Sunday it was inevitable that any tapes would be subpoenaed. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Monday. At least 33 states considered laws this year to crack down on sanctuary cities, nearly double the number from last year. Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today, says they're following President Trump's moves against communities that refuse to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement. Alan, what are we seeing?
Well, basically what we're seeing is that these state efforts to crack down on sanctuary cities have really picked up in the last couple of years. Back in 2015, only four states even introduced legislation to go after them. Last year, we saw 18 states considering those kind of laws. And so far this year, we've now seen 33 states debating, considering these kind of laws. Four of them have already been passed into law and signed by their governors. And so, we're seeing this very quick and rapid expansion of state efforts to crack down on these so-called sanctuary cities.
Wow. All right. So who's doing what here, Alan?
Well, what's happening is it's basically these states trying to pass laws to prohibit cities, jails, police departments, sheriff's offices in those states from adopting any kind of law that limits their cooperation with the federal immigration enforcement efforts. In other words, that runs a very broad gamut that can include a lot of different things. But in a nutshell, there's some cities that say you can't share information with federal immigration authorities. There are some that say you can't hold on to suspects for a couple of extra days, just so that federal immigration agents can check their immigration status. There's a lot of different components in each of these laws, and there's different ways that they're attacking them. But the general idea is to force these cities to fully comply with Trump's efforts to ramp up immigration enforcement in the country.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Texas just put a law in effect that basically can punish officials who don't comply?
Yeah, Texas, and the reason we're hearing so much about Texas is because theirs has probably been the most extreme version of these laws. In a lot of cases, what they'll do is threaten to withhold state funding if they don't, if they adopt some sort of sanctuary policy. In some cases, it's more of a resolution to try to, just push on them to try to do this. But what Texas did is went way beyond this by saying, if you adopt sanctuary policies, not only will we be able to fine your city up to $25,000 a day, but the official that orders it can be put in jail for up to a year and can be removed from office if they order those kind of policies in their cities and in their counties. So, right, this is, again, there's a broad range of this, but Texas really went all the way on this and is threatening jail time and removal from office for their local officials if they adopt these sanctuary policies.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today, about his piece on sanctuary cities. Also, 33 states, you said, are considering this. Have they all been successful in passing something, or is that yet to be determined?
A lot of states, obviously, are in the final days of their legislative sessions right now. I would bet not even half of them actually end up passing this. Having spent way too much time in state houses over the years, I can tell you whenever sort of an issue or an idea is introduced in a state legislature, it usually takes a couple of years before it really picks up the traction and the votes necessary to pass. So I would expect that we'll see, a few more come this year, but come next year, if this momentum is there, is when we'll start seeing a lot more of these actually pass into law. So it's going to take a little while. It takes some time for that progress, for that process to work in state legislatures. But you can definitely see that momentum building very quickly.
Is this part of what's impacting some of these lower immigration numbers that have been cited?
I don't know if it's this I've been covering immigration for a while, and it was kind of news to me that this many states were doing it, so I can't imagine that a would-be undocumented immigrant living in Central America is sitting there saying, hey, look at that, Kansas is debating a bill that could make it tough for the city that I'm about to go to.
Yeah.
That's a bit tough, but as more of these pass, I can tell you that people in Central and South America and know what's going on in Texas right now. They saw that one. They understand what's happening there, and the more of these that are passed, the more the message is delivered that is, obviously being led by President Trump, that this crackdown on illegal immigration is only going to continue for the time being.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Asian governments and businesses are reporting some disruptions from a ransomware worm, but cybersecurity experts warn of a wider impact as more employees turn on their computers and check emails. The Wellmere, which erupted on Friday, locked up hundreds of thousands of computers around the world, hitting factories, hospitals, shops, and schools worldwide. Europol director Rob Wainwright.
Latest numbers are over 200,000 victims in 150 countries.
Authorities are looking at victims' profiles and are finding that it's not a targeted campaign, but a global one. North Korea says the missile it launched over the weekend was a new type of medium long-range ballistic rocket that can carry a heavy nuclear warhead. A jubilant leader, Kim Jong-un, promised more nuclear and missile tests and warned that North Korean weapons could strike the U.S. mainland and Pacific holdings. As President Trump considers a replacement for fired FBI Director James Comey, lawmakers are urging the president to steer clear of appointing any politicians. The advice comes amid more criticism over Trump's dismissal of Comey during an FBI probe of Russia's meddling with last year's election. Former NSA Director James Clapper was asked by ABC News if Comey would have pledged loyalty to Trump.
I would find that profoundly out of character for what I know of Jim Comey and his integrity. I'd find that very surprising.
Clapper added that the founding fathers created three co-equal branches of government with checks and balances, but with Trump as president, that is now eroding. A tweet from President Trump on Friday suggesting he might have taped phone conversations from the White House made waves in Washington, but some former employees and a former associate say it wasn't a surprise to them that he would mention taped conversations. The Wall Street Journal says, as a businessman, Trump sometimes taped phone conversations with associates and others from his Trump Tower office in New York. A D-Day veteran who jumped 15,000 feet from an airplane has become the oldest person in the world to skydive at the age of 101 years and 38 days. Brayson Hayes smashed the current world record yesterday, completing a tandem skydive at an airfield in Britain. The former Lance Corporal said he was feeling absolutely over the moon at completing the challenge.
15,000 feet, I guess he was getting fairly close. We're going to have to get President Bush on this, right?
101.
That's unbelievable. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The first crop of Gen Zers are graduating from college, and like their millennial predecessors, they're expecting big things. But Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com, says Gen Z, you ought to prepare to be disappointed. Katie, this doesn't sound good.
7 in 10 people that are about to graduate from college say they expect they're going to make more than $35,000 a year in their first job. That's up 11 percentage points from last year.
Wow.
Here's the reality, though. Fewer than half of people who graduated in 2016 made more than $35,000.
Is that right?
So, wow. Yeah. So you're seeing, well, and some of it, of course, is because there's a lot of underemployment. You know, people take part-time things. Who knows? But still, fewer than half made that much. But 69% expect that they're going to make more than $35,000 a year, and it's just not the reality. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty major disconnect.
Where does that come from?
So part of it, this is really the first crop of Gen Z, and they're kind of a little bit different than millennials. I mean, part of it is these Gen Zers, they think, hey, I'm going to work for a larger company that's going to pay me more. They're actually more willing to work for larger companies than their millennial peers were. Some of it also is, frankly, just they're naive, right? Like, you don't always do your research on, you know, what your skills are worth in the marketplace. You think, oh, hey, I got straight A's in school. Well, I'm going to get paid a lot. That's not really the reality that's going on here. You're competing not only with graduates in your class, but also with the plenty of other millennials who didn't get their dream jobs, you know, last year or the year before that. So there's quite still a lot of competition.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. She's written a piece entitled Proof That College Grads Are Totally Delusional About the Real World. Explain that conversation you had with Sarah Walsh, that the young woman who graduated from York College in Pennsylvania. She was saying she's a go-getter. So what was the issue with her?
Yeah, well, what's interesting, so 67% of grads think, oh, I'm going to get all this on-the-job training. People think someone's going to hold their hand and train them. That's not true. This woman, Sarah Walsh, told me not only did no one train her, they really weren't supporting her, didn't seem to want her to succeed. She felt like, yeah, there was a lot of people in her office who sort of resented a young, real go-getter coming into the office. That sort of threatened their job, and they weren't all that nice to her. And the career experts I talked to said, you know what, that's not uncommon. Like, you are sort of a threat to people. This is still a very competitive, you know, people are still quite worried. Recession scars still going on, quite worried about their jobs. So you going in there and doing, you know, two times the work of everyone else isn't always rewarded.
This other example, too, I almost fell off my chair. This is a woman who graduated from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, with a degree in international business. So she winds up becoming a nanny for 6 months. Doing some administrative temp work and bartending. Amanda, how is this happening?
And by the way, she, what happened, she graduated. She didn't really find a job even related to business, which, by the way, isn't uncommon. Most recent grads say that their job doesn't even utilize their degree at all. So she's not even the exception. She's basically the almost the rule here. She bounced around and she didn't find a job in business. She didn't really, you know, she wasn't really sure what she wanted to do besides that. So she nannied and she's back in grad school. And this, listen, is a lot of people's story.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for being with us on this Monday, May 15. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Ransomware attack hits Europe and Asia. North Korea fires a new type of ballistic missile. We'll have a live update in just a moment. The Trump administration interviews a handful of candidates to be the new FBI director. Private Chelsea Manning gets out of prison Wednesday, will remain active duty, unpaid, with health care benefits. Olympics officials visit Paris for consideration of the 2024 Games. TV upfronts begin today. Actor Powers Booth has died at 68. Yankees retired Derek Jeter's number 2, and another big diamond found in an Arkansas park. That story in about 20 minutes. Another missile launch in North Korea. Pyongyang says it successfully test-fired a newly developed medium-long-range surface-to-surface missile capable of carrying a large nuclear warhead. Its ultimate goal, being able to deliver a nuclear-tipped long-range missile to the mainland U.S. That is one of the big stories this morning. We've also got this other story about this ransomware attack that has hit Europe and Asia. For that, we're joined now by the Wall Street Journal's Stu Wu, who's based in London. Stu, at this point, we've been talking about whether or not this thing could carry on as people return to work on Monday in, say, Europe and Asia. Do you have any feel for that at this point?
Yes, right now it's not as bad as we thought it could have been. There were some worries that when people got back to work Monday that it would spread more. That has to do with how the virus is structured. The virus, once it makes its way into one computer in a system, is programmed to duplicate itself and spread to every other computer. And there was worries that when people, you know, had their computers off on Monday, they would turn them on Monday and bam, they were infected, could spread. But that hasn't been the case because there's a researcher in Britain that found a kill switch, basically, that stopped it from spreading to the rest of the network. So it could still get to one computer in a computer system, but it wouldn't spread itself to all your colleagues.
What about updated numbers? Some 200,000 computers, 150 countries. Are we in a holding pattern with that at this point?
Yeah, we're still roughly at that number. There are still single computers in the system getting infected right now, but it's not spreading to the entire company.
All right. And what about, is there such thing as a search for perpetrators here? I mean, we ever find these guys?
It's going to be really, really tough. Now, So all these hackers have been paid via Bitcoin, this digital currency, and it's possible there is a paper trail. There is a set of transactions that we can follow. The question is, can we decipher the trail? So that's what people are trying to figure out right now. We don't know who did it right now.
Right. All right. So we've got this debate going now since there was this blog by the president of Microsoft talking about how this originated with the National Security Agency after a leak online in April. That's going to ignite this new debate, I guess, about cooperation with the government.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing to point out is that the National Security Agency has never confirmed the authenticity of this attack code, this virus that hackers published in April. So we don't 100% know whether this comes from the NSA, but yeah, it does. It does raise a question. Well, if the government knew about this, shouldn't they have done more to stop it?
All right. So despite being ransomware, right, this was not some big moneymaker. Right. Some of these, I think I heard an estimate of $45,000, maybe. That means what? People aren't buying into it, or this was really for show by this by the WannaCry malware?
Actually, I think the leading theory among cybersecurity experts right now is that amateurs pulled this off because they didn't really know who they were going to hit. There's a couple of reasons that point, a couple of things that point to this being pulled off by relatively amateurish people. Number one was that there was a kill switch in there that effectively stopped the spread of this virus. It's unclear whether the hackers either didn't know that there was a kill switch in there or that they didn't take the step to prevent it from being controlled by someone else, the good guys, basically. So given the amount of money that people asked for, The hackers were asking for $300 from people like the Britain's hospital system. Yeah. So that points to, okay, people didn't really know where this virus was going to go in the first place.
Mm. We're speaking live this morning with Wall Street Journal reporter Stu Wu. He's based in London, talking about the ransomware attack over the weekend. All right, so if this was done by amateurs, that makes me shudder to think what professionals could do.
Exactly. And so the version that was unleashed on Friday had a kill switch, and people are thinking, okay, down the line there might be something without a kill switch. The second thing is that this was sent in a relatively unsophisticated way. It wasn't targeted at a specific organization, a government or a big bank or anything like that. Professionals, if they spent 6 months targeting a single target like a government, they could do some real damage.
Mm. All right, so what is the status of Britain's hospital system this morning? What do I read, like 20% was affected?
20% were affected, and I think all but maybe 6 were back to normal by yesterday. So it's almost back to full strength, if not at full strength right now.
But there had to have been some panic over the weekend, no?
So some patients were redirected to different hospitals. We haven't seen any reports of anybody who lost a life because of it as of right now.
Well, that's good news. Stu, thanks for a few minutes as always. Wall Street Journal reporter Stu Wu with us today live from London. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into a Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, a 14-year-old physics major has become the youngest.
Wait.
Yes.
Can you just say that again slowly?
All right. I'll go a little. A 14-year-old physics major.
A 14-year-old physics major.
Right, so we already
established. That's how this story begins.
So we already established that he's a 14-year-old in college majoring in physics.
Majoring in physics, nonetheless.
Yes. Yep. He has become the youngest person ever to graduate from Texas Christian University. Carson Huey-U was among the more than 2,000 students getting degrees Saturday at the Fort Worth School, founded in 1873. So we're going back a ways here. He started at TCU in 2013 when he was just 11.
Can you again, would you please repeat that phrase?
He was 11 years old, not even a teenager yet, a preteen, and he started at the college. That was a 2013. He also has minors, by the way, in Chinese and math to go along with physics.
What? Seriously?
You love these stories about the overachiever.
He's a physics major at the age of 14, and he's tossed in little side minors in Chinese and math.
Because he wasn't busy enough. He needed more to
Unbelievable.
Do. By the way, he says his favorite thing about college has been getting to learn things he never thought about, though I don't know what those things are. Things he never knew existed and things he might not even be thinking about. He also says he's learned how to deal with some really hard classes and getting over the disappointment of a poor score on a test. Again, I don't think I want to prove
Come
of that.
On. Yeah, you got a 95.
For his next challenge, the self-described normal dude wants to work on getting graduate degrees in quantum mechanics.
hasn't even gone to a prom, high school prom in his life because he's 14.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he'll probably get this advanced degree in 2 years. Then maybe 2 years after that, he can go to the prom, right? I'm just guessing.
Wow.
So he's doing okay.
Talk about feeling inadequate.
Yes.
Right?
And I have no idea what quantum mechanics even is.
No.
Like, you could hit me in the head with a textbook, and I would have no idea.
I would agree. I was when I was 14, I was figuring out a way to avoid physics in high school. And the outlet became like AP Bio.
Okay.
Right. I'm like, thank you. I'll take that. Yes. Instead of physics.
And Gordon, is it art or is it a pineapple? That question was apparently hard to answer for museum goers in the UK recently. A pair of Scottish college students jokingly left a comet pineapple on an empty table at a modern art museum, only to find it days later that it had been encased in glass and had become part of the exhibit. The prank was the work of a pair of 22-year-olds who attended the Look Again Festival at Robert Gordon University in Aberdeen, Scotland. The one-month festival's mission is to use modern art to force attendees to rethink the objects that surround them in Scottish daily life. Apparently, a $1.30 grocery store pineapple fit the bill, and its presence became an internet sensation after they posted a photo of their creation on Twitter with the caption, "I made art." Mm.
That's, by the way, those are college students doing good work.
Yes.
Not this 14-year-old physics major with minors in Chinese and math. That's useless stuff.
Yes. That kid could learn a lesson from these two.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a tech update, and it's brought to you by Dell. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is saying thank you with up to 40% off business PCs with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BY-DELL. So how do you better defend against these ransomware attacks like the one that popped up over the weekend? Security pros offered suggestions to the Wall Street Journal. Number one, take a hard look at your computer's operating system. Still running Windows XP? Update the emergency patch from Microsoft. But the only way to address the issue might be to get new computers. If you're running Windows 10, you are protected from the WannaCry malware. Number two, update. Always, if you see those Windows update messages on your PC, don't put it off. Update your computer. And number three, back it up. If you have backup copies of your files, the ransomware threat rings hollow. This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint. Vistaprint is all about supporting small business owners. They offer tons of custom products for home and office needs like business cards, postcards, flyers, and it is simple to personalize your business cards and other marketing materials and get that professional look right on their website, Vistaprint.com. You can even upload your logo to one of Vistaprint's designs or upload your own design. Vistaprint guarantees you'll love your products every time or they'll make it right. I want you to try them. So Vistaprint has a special offer for our listeners. 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Just use the code DEAL at checkout. That's up to 50% off of regular site pricing. The quality is great. They're easy to customize. And you can't beat the price. 500 business cards for less than $10. To redeem this offer and get 500 business cards for $9.99, visit Vistaprint.com. Design your custom cards, then enter my code DEAL at checkout. That's code DEAL. Vistaprint.com, design your cards, and enter the code DEAL at checkout. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a computer malware that has spread across 150 countries appears to be slowing down with few reports of fresh attacks in Asia and Europe today. But employees beginning the work week have been told to be careful. The WannaCry ransomware started taking over users' files on Friday, demanding $300 to restore access. James Clapper, former head of the NSA, told ABC News lawmakers have been concerned about this kind of attack for some time.
Senator McCain held a hearing last Thursday on this very issue. And I think during the course of that, mentioned ransomware as something that we're going to see more and more of.
Hundreds of thousands of computers have been affected so far. Microsoft says the attack should serve as a wake-up call. Lawmakers are calling on President Trump to turn over any tapes of conversations with fired FBI Chief James Comey, potentially setting up a showdown with the White House as Democrats consider a boycott of the vote on Comey's replacement. Trump last week appeared to suggest on Twitter that he might have tapes of conversations with Comey and warned the former FBI director against talking to the media. Trump and a White House spokesman declined to confirm confirm or deny whether such tapes exist. A group of white nationalists carried torches Saturday night in Charlottesville, Virginia, while protesting the planned removal of Confederate statues in the city, an incident that has provoked anger and frustration from politicians and activists. The torch wielders were reacting to a city council vote to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee at Charlottesville's Lee Park. Mayor Mike Signer.
We do value diversity, tolerance, difference. That is the source of our strength. That's the source of the country's strength. That's the source of our greatness. And we will not stand for this kind of despicable behavior.
Signer says the protest was either profoundly ignorant or designed to instill fear in the minority community. Looking for a job? Make sure you include the word digital on your resume. HR experts say with digital skills needed now more than ever, framing your job experience around your digital know-how can open you up to a much wider range of opportunities. Liberal arts students with additional technical skills qualify for nearly twice as many job openings as those who don't have them.
If you don't have digital skills, just include the word somewhere on your resume to fool the software.
Change
your last name.
I hope you have some. But...
Jennifer Digital. Hey, let's bring this candidate in for an interview.
Might work.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. An Arkansas park has given yet another valuable gift to one of its visitors. An Oklahoma woman made a sparkly discovery when she visited the Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas. CBS News says 25-year-old Victoria Brodsky of Tulsa was searching for diamonds with her family for 10 minutes. 10 minutes when she found a shiny rock that she originally thought was a piece of glass. She put the rock in her pocket, went to the Diamond Discovery Center a few hours later, where officials said she had discovered a 2.65-carat diamond. Officials said the diamond is now the second largest found in the park this year. In March, you might recall, a teenager discovered a 7.4-carat diamond of his own. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.